Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. About 10 years ago, actually, I walked us through the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm going to do that again beginning today, and we'll conclude next week. I think a lesson like this is important. Number one, it's the beginning of the year. I think it would be good for us to see the Bible as a whole unit and not just a bunch of individual parts. Remember, the Bible consists of 66 parts, and all of these parts are connected to each other. And so this morning I'm going to walk you through the Old Testament, and next Sunday I'll walk you through the New Testament. So the benefit of this is you can just sit back and relax, but don't get too relaxed, right? And so it doesn't take us long in the Bible to see who the hero is. The first verse of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God." The Bible is a story, not so much of man, but of God, a God who acts in history, a God who planned and purposed our redemption in His Son, Jesus Christ, a God who involves Himself in our lives today, as He did the people of old. And so the story begins in Genesis 1 with the creation. On day one, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God separated the light from the darkness. And day two, God said, "Let there be a firmament to divide the waters above from the waters below." He called the firmament sky. Day three, God said, "Let the waters be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And God created all green vegetation. Day four of creation, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Day five, God created the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. Day six, God created all land animals. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And so God created man in His image. And then God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. So I will create a companion suitable for the man." And the Bible says that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And while he slept, God extracted a rib. And from that rib, He formed and fashioned woman. He brought the woman to the man, and the man said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." It wasn't long before the beauty of God's creation was marred by the sin of eating the forbidden fruit. And so Adam and his wife Eve were expelled from the garden of God. They were expelled from the presence of God. And in time, they bore two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain killed Abel. And then God gave Adam and Eve another seed, a righteous seed, in place of Abel, whom Cain killed. And then man continued to get worse until finally God said, "It's enough. I'm going to bring a flood upon the earth and destroy all that has the breath of life." But we read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And so God told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood. He was to put seven of every clean, two of every clean animal aboard the ark. When the time came, Noah, his wife, their three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their three wives entered the ark, and God shut the door. 7 days later, it began to rain, and it rained and rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the foundations of the earth broke up, and water came out of the earth as well, and the whole earth was flooded, and all that had the breath of life died. Then after the flood, God told Noah and his descendants to be fruitful, to multiply and replenish the earth. And so they headed east. They came to the land of Shinar, and rather than scattering over the earth as God had told them to, they said, "Let us make a name for ourselves, and we'll build a tower that reaches into the heavens." And God said, "Let us go down and confound their languages." This caused the people to scatter. And from the scattering of the people, this brings us to one particular man who would begin one particular family, who would be the most important person in the genealogy of our Lord at that time. His name was Abraham. This was about 2000 BC. God came to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees and said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee all the families of the earth would be blessed. And then they moved to the land of Haran. They lived there for a while. Then after the death of Abraham's father, Terah, God once again prompts Abraham to move on. Finally, Abram comes to the land of Canaan, and he's able to survey the land. One night, God told Abraham, he said, "Abraham, look up at the stars and see if you can count them. So shall your descendants be." Genesis 15:6 says, "He believed God, and God reckoned that," or counted that, "to him as righteousness." 25 years after the promise was made, Isaac was born. Isaac took a wife, a cousin, her name was Rebekah. They begot two sons, Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was the child of promise. And Jacob married Leah and Rachel, and along with their two handmaids, Bilhah and Zilpah, they begot 12 sons. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. And Joseph was the favorite, and his brothers hated him. And he ended up being sold into Egypt, where he interprets the dream of the butler and the baker, and eventually the dreams of Pharaoh a couple of years later. Pharaoh had two dreams. He dreamed that 7 fat cows came out of the Nile, followed by 7 lean, and the 7 lean swallowed up the 7 fat. Then he saw 7 stalks of grain, full and plump, and 7 that were very thin. And the 7 thin swallowed the plump. By this, he predicted that there would be 7 years of plenty, and then it would follow 7 years of famine. It happened just as Joseph had prophesied. And so Joseph called for his family to come and live in the land of Goshen, and they lived there. And then arose a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, and he mistreated the Hebrews. He made slaves of them. He made life very difficult for them. And the children of Israel cried out to God for deliverance. There was a man, his name was Amram. He had a wife, her name was Jochebed. They had a son whose name was Moses. And this is a time when the Pharaoh had given a decree that all the Hebrew male babies were to be killed at birth. But when Moses' mother and father saw him, they saw there was something special about this child. So rather than killing him, they put him in a little basket in the bulrushes along the Nile River. He was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, and he grew up in Pharaoh's household as a prince. And then Moses one day saw that an Egyptian was striking one of his fellow Hebrews. So Moses went over there and struck him, and he died. And Moses had to flee Egypt, and he went into the land of Midian, where he kept flocks for his father Jethro for 40 years. At the age of 80, Moses observed in the distance a bush. It was burning. But the bush wasn't being burned up. And so he said, "I'm going to go see this curious sight." And so Moses, as he drew near the bush, a voice spoke to him from the bush and said, "Moses, Moses, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have heard the cries of my people in Egypt, and I have come to deliver them. And I am sending you to Egypt to bring my people out." And Moses brought 10 devastating plagues upon the Egyptians. There was the Nile was turned to blood. Then there was the frogs and the lice and the flies and the disease on the cattle and the boils on animals and man and the hail and the locusts. And then there was the death of the firstborn. The Passover had been observed. The lamb had been slain. The blood had been put over the top of the doorpost and the two side parts of the door. That night, an angel of the Lord went throughout all of Egypt. And wherever there was not blood on the door, the firstborn child in that household died. And so there was great weeping and wailing throughout all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said, "Take your people and go." So Moses took the Israelites, and they left Egypt and headed out into the wilderness. And they came to the Red Sea. Pharaoh had a change of heart and said, "I'm going to go back. I'm going to go get the Israelites and bring them back into Egypt." And the people were fearful as they saw the Egyptian army pursuing them. And Moses said, "Do not be afraid. Stand back and see the salvation of God." And God split the Red Sea right down the middle and caused an east wind to blow all night long. And then God's people were able to walk across on dry ground. The Egyptians trying to pursue the Israelites, when they got into the sea, God brought the waters back together again, and the Egyptian army drowned. It's kind of hard to swim when you have armor on, right? And so they left. There was about 3 million Jews. And God's people ran out of water, and God gave them water from a rock. It was also about this time that they were attacked by the Amalekites. And Moses, with the help of the Lord, Joshua was able to defeat the Amalekites. About 3 months later, they arrived at Mount Sinai. It was an awe-inspiring sight. The earth was quaking. There was lightning and thunder. And the voice of God spoke and said, "Have no other gods before you. Don't make any graven images to worship them. Do not misuse the name of the Lord thy God. Keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. And do not covet." And so Moses goes up on the mountain. He meets with God for 40 days. And as he's up there, the children of Israel grew impatient and said, "We don't know what's happened to Moses. Make us gods that will go before us." So Aaron collected their gold, and from that gold he made a calf, a golden calf. And the people said, "This is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt." When Moses came down from the mountain and saw what the people were doing, he was angry. And he took the two tablets upon which were written the Ten Commandments, and he threw them down and he broke them. Moses goes back up on the mountain and he meets with God, where he receives instructions regarding the tabernacle and the Jewish system of worship. And so Moses comes back down from the mountain. They build the tabernacle, this portable worship center, if you will. Aaron is ordained as high priest. Aaron's four sons, Eleazar, Ithamar, Nadab, and Abihu, serve as priests with him. The glory of God came upon the tabernacle, symbolizing God's presence with his people. They had been at the foot of Mount Sinai now for 11 months, and God said, "You've been here long enough." And so they turned northward. They came to Kadesh Barnea. And from here, Moses sent out 40 spies to spy out the land of Canaan for 40 days. And when the spies came back, Joshua and Caleb said, "Let us go up at once and take the land, for we are able." But the other 10 spies says, "Oh no, we're not able. Those people are tall in stature and they live in walled cities, and we're not able to conquer them." And it put fear in the hearts of the people. And the people refused to go in and take the land which God said he would give them. So God caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, one year for every day that they had spied out the land. It was during this time that Korah and Dathan and Abiram tried to rebel against Moses and Aaron, and the Bible says the earth opened up and it swallowed them. It was during this time that God told Moses to speak to the rock and water would come out for the people. But Moses was angry, stood in front of the people and said, "Listen here, you rebels, must we bring you water from this rock?" And Moses smote the rock twice and water came gushing out. But God told Moses, "Because of this, you cannot take my people into the land of Canaan." What Moses did wrong here was two things. Number one, God said, "Speak to the rock," and he smote it. Number two, he brought glory to himself by saying, "Must we bring you water from this rock?" We didn't do anything. God did. And so it was also about this time that God had sent fiery serpents among the people, and many Israelites died. It was also at this time that Balak, king of Moab, had hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But instead of cursing, he blessed them three times. Then Moses, at 120, went up on top of Mount Nebo. He was able to see the promised land, but he wasn't able to enter into it. And then he died, and God buried him. And then Joshua, the son of Nun, became his successor. It was Joshua who led the children of Israel across the Jordan. When the priest who bore the ark stepped into the Jordan River, it stopped flowing and stood up as a heap. And God's people walked across on dry ground. The first city that they took was Jericho. God told the children of Israel to march around the walls of the city once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, march 7 times around, blow the ram's horn, and the people shouted, and the walls fell flat. It happened just as God said it would. Rahab was the only one saved because she had received the spies. And then from about 1400 to 1350, the Israelites conquered the land of Canaan from the Canaanites. It was a wedge attack. They hit the center of the country. They hit Jericho, Ai and Bethel. Then they took the southern confederacy, and then they went north and took the northern confederacy. And so the lamb was divided up among the Israelites. The tabernacle was set up at Shiloh. And that was a religious center at that particular time. And then Joshua died. And all the people served God all the days of Joshua and all the days the elders who had outlived Joshua. And then we have a period from about 1350 to 1050 in which we have this recurring cycle where the children of Israel would do evil. Then God would sell them into the hands of their enemies. And then they would cry out in repentance. And then God would raise up a deliverer that we call a judge. It was during these days that Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Tola, Jer, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon ruled. And it's about this time that Ruth lived as well. And Ruth, as we know, was living in Moab, came and gleaned in the fields of Boaz, ended up becoming the husband of Boaz, as well as the great-grandmother of King David. The last of the two judges were Eli and Samuel. Samuel was a good guy. Through Samuel, he brought the people back to God. But then the people grew tired of being ruled by judges and says, "We want a king. We want to be like all the other nations." And so God told Samuel, "They've not rejected you, they've rejected me from being king over them." And so Samuel anoints Saul, and he became the first king. This ended the period known as the Judges. This was the beginning of what we call the United Kingdom period, which was from 1050 to 930. And so Saul reigned 40 years. Saul disobeyed God. He didn't kill all of the Amalekites as God had told him to. And so God took his kingship away. God says, "I've chosen another man, a man after my own heart." And so Samuel was sent down to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, where he anoints David. And David becomes the next king of Israel. He reigned in Hebron, then he moved the capital to Jerusalem, and that became the religious center of the Israelites at that time, the political center as well. David wanted to build a house for God, but God said, "You can't build a house for me because you're a man of blood. But one will come from your loins," speaking of Solomon, "who would build a house for him." But there was more to it than that. And so David wasn't a perfect man, by the way. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then to cover his tracks, he has her husband Uriah the Hittite murdered. And because of this, God says the sword will not depart from your house. And David's latter days were not lived in very much pleasure at all. And at the end of David's reign, Solomon was proclaimed king, and he reigned from 970 to 931. It was Solomon who built the temple for the Lord. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. He was the wisest of all the kings, and his proverbs were legendary. It was during the days of Solomon and David that the book of Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the songs of Solomon were written. But Solomon committed a very grievous sin. He married daughters of foreign gods, which led him astray. And so Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. When Solomon died, his son Rehoboam came to the throne. Rehoboam refused the counsel of his father's advisors. Consequently, there was a split in the kingdom, and 10 tribes went north and formed the northern kingdom called Israel. 2 tribes remained in the south, Judah and Benjamin. This was the southern kingdom. There weren't any good kings up in the north. Every one of those guys were bad. Jeroboam, the first king of the north, was always known as the king who had made Israel to sin. He had made two golden calves, put one in Dan and one in Bethel, and says, this is where you will come and worship. He didn't want the people going down to Jerusalem because they would once again give their allegiance there. So he had them worship here. And for this reason, he was always known as the king who had made Israel to sin. When he died, he was followed by his son Nadab. Nadab was killed by a man by the name of Baasha. He was followed by a man named Zimri, who lasted 7 days and was killed off by a man named Omri. The capital of the north was then moved to Samaria at that time. Omri was the father of Ahab. Ahab married Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel were the Bonnie and Clyde of the Old Testament. It was during these days that Elijah lived and prophesied and spoke out against King Ahab. He also had that contest, if you remember, up on Mount Carmel, where the 450 prophets of Baal were killed. And so following him, Ahaziah became king. And then Jehoram and then Jehu came and he wiped out the whole family of Ahab in the dynasty of Omri. Then Jehu ruled in the north, and he was followed by Jehoahaz, and then Joash and Jeroboam II. It was during the days of Jeroboam II that two great prophets hit the land up in the north. Amos, the prophet of God's justice, and Hosea, who was the prophet of God's love. Then Jehoram II, after him, there was a really sharp decline in the kingdom. And then he was followed by Zechariah. And then Jehu followed Zechariah, then Shalom. And he was killed off by a man named Menahem. And then Pekahiah ruled, then Pekah, and then Hoshea. And then in 722 BC, the Assyrians swooped down, took the northern kingdom into captivity, where they were never heard from again. Meanwhile, down south, Rehoboam is reigning as king. He's a wicked king. He was followed by Asa, who was a good king. And then Jehoshaphat, who was a good king. And he was also a friend of Ahab. And their two children married. And what a disaster that turned out to be. It nearly destroyed the Davidic line. And he was followed by Jehoram, who then followed by Ahaziah. And then there was a reign of terror as Athaliah reigned for 6 years. She was the daughter of Jezebel. And then Joaz took the throne at the ripe old age of 7. And then Joaz was followed by Amaziah, and he was followed by Uzziah. Uzziah died in the year that Isaiah the prophet came to the throne. And Isaiah the prophet made some very significant prophecies. One was, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which we know is interpreted God with us. He also said in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, unto us a son is given, unto us a son is born, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And then in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, he says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've each turned to his own way, and Yahweh hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then he was followed by Jotham and Ahaz, and then Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a great king, and Hezekiah stood up against the Assyrians. If you remember, Sennacherib and his army came down, sent a threatening letter to Hezekiah saying, surrender or else. Hezekiah goes into the temple, lays out the letter, and prays to God. And that night, an angel of the Lord went throughout the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Sennacherib was sent home, where he was then murdered by his two sons. Hezekiah was followed by a man named Manasseh, who was one of the worst kings. He reigned for 50 years. He was followed by Amon and then Josiah. Josiah was a good guy, another good king. He was the guy who decided, hey, let's repair the temple. And when they were repairing the temple, they found the book of the law, which had been lost for decades. And he had it read before all the people. He made great reforms, religiously speaking. This was about 621 BC. He was killed by Pharaoh Necho in 609 when he went out against the Egyptian army. Then he was followed by, there was just several really weak kings, nothing more than vassals. You had Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and then Zedekiah met his end in 586 B.C. In 606 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar marched into Jerusalem and took away some captives into captivity. At that time, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego went into captivity. And then he came again in 597 and took some more exiles into captivity. At that time, Ezekiel went into captivity. And then he came again in 586 B.C. when he destroyed Jerusalem. He knocked down the walls and destroyed the temple. It was during these days that Zephaniah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, and Nahum ruled. Jeremiah gave a very significant prophecy in Jeremiah 31. He says, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. But this is the covenant that I will make." He says, "I will write my laws in their hearts and minds. No longer will a brother teach his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all will know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. And I will be merciful unto them, and I will forgive their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more." And we can all remember the words of our Lord in the upper room when he took the cup and says, "This is the cup of my blood, shed for many for the remission of sins." And so, when Babylon was then defeated by the Persian Empire, the first thing that he did was allow the captives to go back home and rebuild their homeland. Just as they went away in the captivity in three waves, they returned in three waves. The first leader who brought a group home was a man by the name of Zerubbabel. And they began to build the temple under his rulership. And then he was followed by a man named Ezra. And it was under his leadership that the temple was repaired, that the priesthood was restored. And then the third leader that came back and led a group back was a man by the name of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was the guy who built the walls around Jerusalem in 52 days. It was at this time that Esther also lived. If you remember, Esther was the one who saved the Jewish people from annihilation by the wicked plot of Haman. And the Jews observe a feast to this very day to commemorate that event. It's called the Feast of Purim, which is the Feast of Lots. Because if you remember, Haman cast lots to determine the day that the Israelites would die. And so the Old Testament ends with the book of Malachi. The temple has been rebuilt. The priesthood has been restored. But once again, the people are falling back into their old ways. The prophet Malachi comes and says, "Do not take the Lord lightly. One of these days, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings. And I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their father." The Old Testament is not a complete book because the story isn't over. Many prophecies had been given to show them that something better was coming. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were told that through their seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. David was told that one would come from his loins who would rule over the throne forever. And so that great prophet explicitly describes God's plan of redemption to redeem humanity. But the Old Testament ends with something better is coming, but something better has not yet come. But you and I know the end of the story, and we know that all of these prophecies have their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so next week, we're going to pick up at the book of Malachi, and we're going to work our way all the way to the book of Revelation. We're going to get the whole story, and we need the whole story. Our Bible is a Bible that consists of 66 parts, not 27 parts. And so we need to realize that all of those parts fit together. And you really can't understand the sequel, which is the New Testament, unless you understand the first part. It's like watching a movie and only seeing part two, but you didn't watch part one. Well, you're not going to know what's going on because you didn't know what happened in part one. You have to have both parts. That's why the verse previous to my coming up here was, whatsoever things were written aforetime was written for our learning. And so we learn so much from the Old Testament. We've quickly walked through it. I hope you appreciate and you can see that the Bible truly is one story that tells how God redeemed his people. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation for any need whatsoever, maybe you need prayer, maybe you want to come and confess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever your need is, make it known as we stand together and sing.